that you know, we support what God's doing here at Grace Fellowship and around the world, really, in a lot of ways. But one of the things we're doing for years, the worship team and they've been struggling with out of date, not very good sound equipment and making it do the best they can. But we have ordered new speakers, first time since we built the church, right? So I know it's exciting, but COVID hit. They canceled the order. We waited for the order. They canceled the order. And then, do you know prices have gone up? Yeah. And so what we originally had spec to do, we're going to do it for the money that we had already raised the money. You guys have given, a lot of the worship team gave the majority of the money. And but they say we need one more speaker than what we have ordered. And it would be a lot easier and cheaper to go ahead and buy it and put it up, like, at the same time. The speaker we need costs $3,000. So, yeah, it's really, and that's not much. I wear hearing aids. I have hearing aids. They're close to $3,000, believe it or not. When you see somebody wearing those things, they're expensive. But when you can't hear, it's bad. And this new sound equipment will really make it so people can understand and engage and encounter God in worship. And so if you want to give to that, just on your offering, give to sound, mark that, go online, mark sound. We would like to collect $3,000. That's, you know, 30 people giving $100 apiece. It's one person giving $3,000. You know, it's just math. It's really easy to do. There's zeros. Just take the zeros off, right? And I want to be a part of it, and I'm going to be a part of it, and I hope that God will speak to you. I'll give you a worship testimony and also just tell you, let you know on something going on in my life. A guy that I played football with in junior high and in high school and in college, he and I were friends for years and years, and I just ran into him in December again and talked to him. Not one of the nicest guys I've ever known, really. He died 3 days ago or something, 4 days ago. He passed away, went to be with the Lord. And so his wife, who I also went to graduate high school with 40-something years ago, she called me and asked if I would do the funeral. They don't have a church family, a church home. And I said, well, of course I will. And then, but she said, listen, I'm so angry and so sad. Like, they were best friends for 40-plus years. And then without, you're asking God, what do I say? What do I say, right? It's like, try not to be awkward. This is not the time to be awkward. And I'm thinking, Lord, what do I say? And then she said, have you ever heard a song called Waymaker? I'm like, yeah, we worship to that. She said, that song just won't get out of my head. And she said, I know it's going to be okay because God really is my way maker. And I'm like, I actually wouldn't think about her saying, I'm like, woo, pressure off. Well, I'm telling you guys, worship is so vital. You worship team members, you people that do worship. She's not on a worship team. She's really a relatively new Christian, but that song has helped her through a real reality that hurts. And I'll be doing their funeral next Saturday, this coming Saturday. We're going to do, his name's Danny. I've told y'all before about my other, we had three captains my senior year in high school on the football team. Danny Turner was one of them, and he died in a car wreck just like a few weeks after Gene and I got married, when I began in the ministry. He loved Jesus. He was a Jesus freak. He embarrassed me in church a lot. And so I invited him to come visit my Baptist church. It was embarrassing. He didn't know that you don't stand up and go, Jesus, Jesus, during worship. You just didn't do that in the First Baptist Church of Cushing, Oklahoma, right? Danny did. He did it all the time. He fell in love with Jesus when he was in college. In high school, we were friends, and we were together a lot. He didn't know Jesus, really, but man, in college, something happened to him, and he's with the Lord. And now Danny Barker, my other friend, he's with the Lord too. Two totally different guys, but both in heaven, and great guys, you know. You know, I've been Have y'all noticed there's something that I was talking to Pastor Tim, and this came up somewhere in a conversation. But you know, a lot of times the world catches on to stuff before the church does. The stuff that's on God's heart, you know. And one of the things that I think is on God's heart, but the world caught on to before the church did. And sometimes when that happens, the church begins like this. That's the world, you know. This is one of those things that would bug me sometimes because of my personality. You guys know what self-care is? Y'all ever heard that term? Yeah, you have. If you are alive and you live in America, you've heard that term, and you probably have opinions about it. But the truth is, what is self-care? Why is it so hard for us to take time for ourselves? Why do we have to make a thing about it even? It's because it is. You know, it's actually, in our world, it's almost like a negative thing. What do you mean you're going to do self-care? We're supposed to lay our lives down. We're supposed to sacrifice. We're supposed to suffer for the Lord. And, you know, it's like we put me time. Even that term, I remember when I first started hearing that term, people would say that to me because they didn't know that I was going to bite them when they said it. They would say, you know, I've got to have me time. I'm like, because it goes against something inside of us, right? And it's funny. People tend to think self-care and me time is selfish. But the truth is, a lack of self-care, and I looked this up, a lack of self-care can make us ill-equipped to handle life stresses. Like really, self-care actually ensures that you'll be able to give away to your family, to your job, to your world, to the church. You'll be able to give the best part of you. Like who you really are, you know, at your very best, at your healthiest. And so here's some stuff I learned. And especially, I think, with what we've gone through in the last couple of years, financially, what we're going to go through now because of inflation and stuff. Listen, if there's ever a time in history when it's important to pay attention to yourself and to have self-care, it's right now. What will happen is you need to make it a priority. But what changes is when self-care actually becomes a part of your walk with Christ. And what I want to talk about today is that. It's like, and so I gave you guys a questionnaire to fill out, and you can do it now, you can do it at home, but it'll just give you an idea of how you're doing. Now, you know, every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above, right? There's no idea ever invented, there's nothing ever invented that didn't come from God as a source. We sing that in our songs, we have a hard time believing it in our heads. And I think that whenever we're looking at self-care, self-care can be about your physical being. That's a good thing, guys, believe it or not. Keeping your body in shape, eating healthy. It's important if you're going to serve your family and serve the Lord and give yourself away. You've got to be in physical condition. It can be about your mental health. It can be about your relational health. It can be about all kinds of aspects of who you are. And really, it's the foundation of the gospel. You know, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but the gospel actually is like the most powerful form of self-care there is. And it came from the Lord. And so I gave you that questionnaire so you can answer those. And it's a little tricky. You know, I gave you the explanation on the bottom. But on number 2, number 8, number 10, and 15, invert your scores. If you gave yourself a 1, that's 7, and write that down. Then you're going to add the numbers up, and if you score 40 and above, you're doing okay. You know, you're walking in step with the Holy Spirit, because if you walk with God, you will take care of yourself spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. It's really the most powerful form of self-care. And so I want to show you today, as you get your score, I want to show you what that looks like. Now, the first promoter of self-care was this man called Mr. Rogers. And some of you that were here years ago, I did a skit one time where I pretended to be Mr. Rogers. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. You young guys probably don't even know who it is. But he was the first promoter, and I asked him if they'd show a video because he understood self-care at a deep level. So did y'all play that video?
Learn best and most that's all part of being human. And we learn best from people who really care about us, people we really like. It's you. I like you. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you. I like you. The way you are right now. The way down deep inside you. Not the things that hide you. Not your toys. They're just beside you. But it's you I like. Every part of you. Your skin. Your eyes. Your feelings. Whether old or new. I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like, it's you yourself, it's you, it's you I like. And that's
Bam.
And you find that the people who love you best are the ones you learn the most from. And the more they teach you, and the more you learn, the better feeling you have about yourself and the world we live in.
You know, that was in the 60s when he wrote that song. It was in black and white originally. And what the top neurologists in the world have discovered today is, a neuroscientist, is that's true. Children learn the best from people that like them. It's off the scale, the difference. Not from machines, not from paper, not from books, not from videos, but from humans that like them. And it's like he understood. Now, he didn't come up with that idea. You know, we're going to read the greatest commandment in just a second. You guys already know it. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And the second commandment is like it. It's to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, there's a secret in the gospel that will bring you into the greatest impact you'll have in the world is as you participate with what God's plan. And God's plan is for you to like you. Actually, the Greek word there is agape. God, he said agape God with everything, your mind, your body, your soul, everything. Agape your neighbor with everything, and agape as you agape yourself. Do you love yourself? Now, the gospel gives us a plan so that we can love ourselves. The gospel gives you a plan so that once you love God, it doesn't just give you the idea. You see, this thing about self-care, the truth is, with most of our mentality, it just becomes another thing to put on our to-do list and causes more stress. And they promise you it'll take stress away, but the truth is, if you don't have the power to love yourself, then it just becomes a burden that you can't do. You end up getting mad at yourself anyway, blaming yourself anyway, judging yourself anyway, not thinking you're as pretty as whoever, blah, 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 blah. I mean, did y'all see my cute niece up here this morning, Rain? Did y'all see her? She's the second cutest person in our family. I'm not going to tell you who the first cutest is, but isn't she, you know? So answer those questions and let's ask yourself that deal. Because I'm telling you, here we go. I'll give you guys, would y'all mind standing up? Y'all are participating today because I have a head cold. I don't feel that good and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think I have anything catching. I don't have no fever. Check last night. Check this morning. I'm good. Okay. So I've been doing, y'all, have y'all ever done, what's that stuff Tim called you do, Tim, when you used to stretch stuff? Yoga. Yeah. Yeah. Liar. Okay, in yoga, right, you take your arm and you stretch. Okay, so do this with me. Your right arm first. Stretch as far as you can around your back. And then it'll be good for you, okay? We're doing this. Will be good. Then take your left. Now, don't let go. Take your left arm and stretch out as far as you can around your other shoulder, okay? And then, like, squeeze real tight and sort of go like that. And then say this, I love me. I'm wonderful. I'm marvelous. I love me. Lord, that's hard to do, isn't it? Okay, y'all can sit down. It's even sin in some of our world. But what did Jesus say? God said the first commandment is to love him, and the second commandment is to love ourselves. We don't like that one. And we can go all kinds of scripture and prove that God told us not to love ourselves, but those are red letters in every version of the Bible there is. He says this, and it's a great verse, right? Y'all know the verse. Love the Lord your God. Agape him as your source of everything. He's everything. Even when your spouse of 40-something years dies, your best friend who never leaves your side. I'll just tell you something. I'm going to do the funeral sort of funny. I ran into Danny right before Christmas at Home Depot parking lot. I timed it. Okay, I'm weird. I don't know why I do it. I just did. He talked to me for 1 hour and never quit talking. And it was amazing because he was telling me all this stuff that I don't remember. He has this unbelievable memory. And so I'm talking to Lila on the phone yesterday. And I'm like, because Danny wasn't like me. He was a nice guy. I mean, he played offensive tackle in high school and college. He weighed like 300 pounds in college. He was, I'm telling you, he could move a mountain. He benched 500 pounds. He was just a physical monster. But he wouldn't hurt a flea. Like, he never did any of that stuff. I couldn't even, matter of fact, in college, he played tackle right beside me. We played right beside each other. But we didn't hang out when we weren't playing football because I was doing things he just wouldn't do. You know, he's just a nice guy. But he would literally talk your ear off. And so I told Lila on the phone, I said, yeah, Lila, because she's fallen in love with Jesus and he loves Jesus, but not as, like, rambunctious as she is, I guess, or whatever you'll call it. But I said, Lila, when I ran into you, she says, yeah, he told me about running into you. I said, yeah. I said, he talked my ear off. She said, I know. He used to follow me around the house and talk and never stop. And then she said, I miss that. And then she told me about the song. And she said, Jesus is the way maker, isn't he? I'm like, Lila, you don't need me to do anything. You've already found him. You know, the truth is, you fall in love with him and he will meet your need even in the darkest day of your life. She's told me, she said, I'll be okay. I'm like, good. Let's do a funeral. Praise God, you know. We're going to do a funeral. So, knowing that self-care is good just creates more stress unless there's a source of power in your life that can let you do it. You know what God did in the greatest commandment? He said, guys, this is you love me, you agape me as a source of life. And when you encounter me, what's impossible to do becomes possible. Because now you can actually love yourself and not as a to-do list, but it'll come from inside of you. And God will transform you to where you like you. Even fully aware of everything about you, you like you, you love you. And when you love you, you can love the world. Guys, it'll change everything in our world today. So the gospel, I think, is the foundation for that. And when you read that verse in Matthew, it's like, God, you told us, what's the old covenant, right? It was based on rules and laws and punishment and regulation and blah, 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 blah. And then Jesus came and he brought a new covenant. He brought the kingdom to earth. And in that new covenant, you know what the bridge is from the old covenant to the new covenant that Jesus instituted? Love. That's the bridge. For God so loved the world. He gave his only son, whosoever believes in him, right? You know, love is the bridge that will get you where you need to be, and it'll bring you to a place of health, mental health, emotional health, physical health, relational health. Only love can do that. But you can't do it without loving Him first. A fruit of loving Him is going to be loving yourself. And not just loving yourself. I mean, I think maybe on Sundays, the first thing we should do before you walk in the building is out in the parking lot, do that yoga exercise. We'll name that the God move or something. I don't know. It's like, love yourself like God told you to. But you're going to have to love Him first, because you can't love yourself without Him. Just becomes more pressure, right? You got to love it. Now, here's what the gospel says. I'll just give you, you guys know these verses. You know I'm going to say this before I say it. But I just think it's so simple and so powerful that we have to get it inside of our hearts, you know. You know who that is? It's a shepherd and sheep. Last week, that thing, I didn't have it turned on. So this week, you can see it. It's a shepherd and sheep in a real beautiful scene. And you know, it's funny. The Bible's full of pictures, allegory, symbolism. And one of the beautiful symbols in scriptures is sheep, right? Which we don't know much about because we're not sheep people. There's a great book in our library in the church office, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. Great book. He's a scientist, a biologist, and a Christian, and he wrote that book. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a great illustration for us as followers of Christ. Sheep. That's the picture that God chose, one of the pictures he chose to illustrate that. It's also one of the pictures he chose to illustrate his Son, the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. That's Jesus. But he also said, we're sheep. And it's a great picture, right? So I want to talk about sheep a little bit. He himself bore our sins in his body, 1 Peter 2:24, on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd. So Jesus was a sheep, now he's a shepherd and overseer of your souls. So I want to show you another video about sheep. Okay, just because we're from Arkansas, we don't do sheep. Would y'all play that other video?
People think I'm joking when I call brambles carnivorous plants. But before you sneer, just look at the evidence.
There you go. Hey, David.
If no one rescued this lamb, it would be dead in a couple of days. And that's not counting attack from crows or dogs. Sheep caught like this give up struggling quite quickly and just stand there calmly waiting for death to arrive. They die of thirst or starvation, obviously, but often they end up on their backs and die of pneumonia. Now you might be saying, that doesn't make a bramble into a carnivorous plant just because lambs get caught in it. But again, look at the evidence. First, the motive. Obviously, the plant would benefit for years from the remains of a dead animal decaying into the ground around its roots.
Now, why I wanted to show you that is because one of the powerful things of the gospel is when Jesus talks about us, he talks about sheep that have gone astray. That's what he talks about. And sheep that go astray can get tangled up in briars and they can die. And it's painful. And I just want you guys to help me here, okay? Y'all got to participate. So you get the spotlight. Here we have one of my buddies. Hey,
help.
Buddy.
Help.
Hey, what's wrong?
I'm stuck. Ooh. I've been here all night. I don't know what to do. I can't find nobody to help me.
You're stuck in the briars?
Yeah, and it hurts. It hurts really bad.
Oh, man.
It hurts so bad.
But
I'm scared.
I understand. It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm just in pain and it hurts and I don't know what to do and there's nobody to help me. And
nobody will help you?
I took the wrong path.
Yeah.
My uncle said, where's, go right, and I went left. And
where's your shepherd?
My shepherd.
Yeah. You didn't follow the shepherd, did you?
I didn't. He said, go right, and then I thought left looked like it was closer, and then that's got stuck in this mess.
Oh, there's one in your mouth now.
And I'm hungry.
Would anybody help? Camille, you got your hand up first. Would you help this poor thing? Listen.
Help me, please.
Is it hurt?
It hurt bad. I'm hungry, and I got to go to the bathroom.
I know.
And I'm afraid that might even hurt.
What? Camille, what?
Oh, careful. Careful.
I know. You can't take those off. It's going to hurt.
Go ahead. Ow.
Okay. Ow. Okay, wait. Stop. That's good. You guys can just, that's good. Let's give him a hand. Get off the stage before something happens. You know, the beautiful thing, you need help? I think they got him wrapped around his arm when he was doing the thing. Sorry. That was on stage as the sheep/raccoon, Mike Kiefover. Thank you, Mike. I didn't have a sheep puppet. All I had was a raccoon. And this is Arkansas. That's good. But who bore our sins? By whose stripes were we healed? We talk about the shame-free gospel. You know why it's shame-free? It's because when the sheep goes, what's iniquity, right? We turn our own way. When we go our own way, we don't become diseased on the inside. We run into briars on the outside, and they are painful, and they will kill you. But in Hosea, you read Hosea and the scriptures say, the briars are there to bring you back to the shepherd. The shepherd can set you free. I remember, and guys, what happens? That's why we have to understand that. That's why you can love yourself, because don't you feel compassion for the poor raccoon guy? The sheep that's just stuck. And he'll die without having an encounter with the shepherd. And guys, it's been so much in us. We were told our whole lives that it's not external, but it's internal. And the truth is, you can love yourself because you're just a lost sheep. For God so loved the world that he laid down his life. You see, when you're a lost sheep, when you've gone astray, you need a shepherd. And the one who became the lamb and died for us became our shepherd and can set us free. And when you begin to understand that, you begin to love and have compassion for yourself, and you know where to go. Years ago, had a guy, very successful military guy, very intelligent, successful in his career, but he had some anger issues, you know, just irritation, starts off as frustration, irritation, then it becomes anger, then it becomes rage, which doesn't go so good at work. And then to cover up the rage, you start taking some mood-altering beverages. And you take a few mood-altering beverages, and then you take a few more, and you're still getting angry. You're still going into rages, but now you've got this other issue. And now you've got a high, powerful job where you cannot function with those bondages in your life. And he works so hard to get unstuck, but he's just like the sheep. They cannot get out on their own. Even if they love Jesus, they have to have an encounter with a shepherd. And that man, he showed up in my office, you know, and he's talking about all this. And before he comes in, I have this crazy understanding of sin. Sin is getting on the wrong path, and the briars are outside of you. Now, they're real. They hurt you. Matter of fact, guess who took the pain? Jesus, the shepherd who gets the sheep out. And I just prayed with the guy, and the Lord showed him where he went on a wrong path. When he was young, when he was real young, it was so strange because it's a path I hadn't seen very often. It was his family was just chaos in his family all the time. No physical abuse, no sexual abuse, no you know, stuff like that. But there was just chaos. And he was very sensitive and very intelligent. And he just, the chaos would just drive him insane. And he believed that his world was going to be chaotic forever. And that lie is not, that wasn't true. You see, there was a shepherd wanting to bring him on a path of freedom and peace. And he met the shepherd. And he got set free from those briars. There was nothing wrong with him on the inside except for the path. And when he went on the same path as Jesus, when he had an encounter with Jesus, he got set free from the briars and the anger and the, all that stuff was gone. And it was a good day. You see, Jesus came to do that for us. And here's what has to happen. You see, whatever kind of briars you've got in your life right now, it's not because you're bad. That's why you can love yourself. That's why Jesus loves you. Before you're set free, before anything happened, Jesus loved us. Before the world was even created. And if you're going to love yourself, you're going to have to see yourself the same way God does. As a lost sheep stuck in the briars, being ripped apart by thorns. And those thorns are horrible. There, if you've never walked around in the bushes in Arkansas, you're missing something. You need to go out. I got those briars right out here. You can go out there and just try. You won't make it very far. You'll get stuck in them. And they'll hurt. And somebody will come save you, and they'll pay a price for saving you. And that's the truth. So I think it's really true. So after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time's come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And we talked about that word before because that word insinuates something. The worldly definition of repentance means to be sorry for sin with self-condemnation. Feeling remorse, regret, shame. Focusing on your sin and your failure as if you can save yourself. Then the shepherd has come and waded into the briar patch to get you, and then you're going to take all the credit for getting out. I don't think so, but that's what we do. That's the world's idea of repentance. If you're sorry enough, you won't ever do it again. If you're ashamed enough, you'll be free from the briars. No. Don't degrade what Jesus is doing for you by taking credit for what you're what's happening in your life. You're stuck because you separated from God, and the only one that can get you out is Him, and it doesn't come by something you generate in here. It comes by, how's it come? This is a good word. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't think like the world. World's repentance is not right. What's godly repentance look like? But be transformed. And that word be there means someone else is getting you out. Someone else is changing the way you think. Not you. Him. Him. You're sad, go to Him. You're hurting, go to Him. You're angry, go to Him. He's the source of everything. And be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word repentance there is the Greek word metanoia. Meta means beyond, larger than, what is normal, more, greater. Noia means mind. Literally means this. A change of the mind resulting in a change in the inner man. When we change our mind, God changes our insides. And He sets us free from those briars. You see, it's all God. It starts with Him. It ends with Him. It all comes from Him. You know, when we see ourselves and what's happening in our lives from a higher perspective, when we see it through Jesus' eyes, then we look at ourselves as Jesus looks at sheep. He left 99 sheep that weren't in a briar patch to go get one. And if you read that book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, you see that, man, there's 1,000 things out there that kill sheep. Without a shepherd, they can't make it. We're the same way. Our problem is when we're separated from the shepherd, we get stuck in the briars. Or we drink bad water. or our hair gets so long, we get tripped up and we fall on our backs. And then that shepherd who did that video, he's a shepherd, we get pneumonia and die. There's 1,000 bad things that happens whenever we're not walking in path with the shepherd. So metanoia, it's a major change in the mind. It's 1 John 1:9. If we change the way we see, if we see the way God sees, then He is faithful. He sets us free and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And now we are Christ-centered people instead of a people-centered people. And Jesus is somebody you can believe. What happens when we believe this is true, when we believe the gospel? What happens? It changes how we see ourselves. All of a sudden, we don't have self-esteem problems. We don't take, it's not pride, it's not arrogance. It's seeing us the way God sees us, as precious. You know what that sign over there said? It really is true. I did communion, and Kirk was behind me. And I'm like, Kirk, you really don't, I asked you, didn't I, Kirk? I was like, did you read that? Dana, read that out loud, just to remember, so I can hear you, okay? That scroll.
Yet you are so lovely, like a fine linen tapestry hanging in the holy place.
Yeah, that's me and Kirk. You guys didn't know it. It's like, pretty, like fine linen. Why is that so hard for us? You know, I was actually, Rain's almost as cute as I am, is what I actually see. In God's eyes, right? In God's eyes. Guys, you're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. You're so marvelous. And you and I have this battle to think about ourselves the way the world thinks of us. Or are we going to submit to God and think about ourselves the way He thinks of us? And I tell you, in the gospel is the power to do the first commandment. And in the first commandment is the power to do the second commandment. And in those two commandments lies all the power to function in all the commandments. But it's all God, and it's not us. And it begins with love. Love God, all your mind, all your heart, all your soul. Love you, love others. And guys, when we begin to do that, I think we're gonna fall in love with God. We're gonna see our lives change. Everything that our friends who didn't understand that self-care really started with God. That's where it started. And somehow we got away from that and we became self-deprivation people. No. The gospel is pay attention to how you feel. Pay attention to your physical being. You know, those poor sheep aren't smart enough. They'll get stuck over and over and over again, right? You know why? Because they want the green grass that's growing under the briars. You know why green grass grows under the briars? Because the briars protect it from people like those sheep. And they don't learn to stay out of there. Jesus created me and you above sheep. And we should be driven by the green grass. But the gospel says, whenever we are out of the step, and we go on that left path that Mike was talking about, we go there, we're going to get briars stuck in our nose. Well, just do that once or twice, and you won't do it. I remember Camille, she didn't know this, but when she was little, I used to go over to Daniel and Jennifer's, and they had like 5 acres behind their house full of briars, right? And she was like this tall. She was real little. And I'd take her and we'd go out and walk down the hill and play in the creek and stuff. And that girl, after about the second time, maybe the first time, but after at least the second time, you know, I tried to teach her about briars, but she can't really talk that well yet. And she got to where she would look and she would see it. She'd go, stickers, stickers. And she'd go this way. Like you couldn't get her within 5 feet of a sticker because she learned those things don't just poke you. They grab you, right? And she learned real quick how to walk through the woods without getting stuck. Some of us haven't learned how to walk through the woods without getting stuck yet. There's a way to get through the woods without getting stuck. There's actually a path. I got those where there's a little path up there on the front of our property. I went down the path and reached in very gingerly and cut them and still got stuck. And then when I tried to put them there, they got stuck all over my shirt. Now I'm stuck. I had to call for an usher to help me. Guys, are you tired of being stuck? Let's be happy. Happy's better than being stuck. How do you get happy? Find where you missed the path. And your shepherd is looking for you. My shepherd's looking for me. Your shepherd is looking for you. You're stuck in the briars, and he's coming for you. He's investing his life in you. He's bleeding with you because he wants to bring you home. So let's follow Jesus. Let's get to the point where we do the same thing Camille did when she was a little girl. Stickers! It was like the worst thing in the whole world to her was stickers. They were bad, especially when you're that tall and they're that tall. It's like, that's bad. Guys, you want to follow Jesus this week better than you did last week? Do you have stickers that are holding you down the way I've had in my life? I still have, and everybody has. Do you need help getting free? There's help. Talk to your Connect group leader. Talk to a pastor. Sign up for Freedom Sessions. Whatever you need to do, don't live there. Just do the same thing that our little raccoon friend did. He was asking for help. Who's going to help me? Thank goodness there was one person here that was willing to help him. Actually, I know any of you would have done it, but I knew Camille would scream louder when she got stuck. Right? God's good. Self-care isn't from the devil. It's from Jesus Christ. It's from Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's all stand up. I really appreciate you being here today, you self-lovers. Y'all aren't really self-lovers. We're not there yet. I just threw it out today. I figured this is something that's going to have to sink in. Like, it's so foreign to our way of thinking. We just want to be so humble. And God said, love ourselves. And that just stresses me out. Jesus loves you. And you really can say it. I love me. I love me with the same love I love God with is what the Bible says. Agape God and agape yourself. Man, that's hard. I understand. So let's pray. And we've got a ministry team up here. And they're planning on you crying. So they have a Kleenex box with them. So that's okay. Emotions are okay. I cried during worship. I was having encounters with God. And it just happens, right? So let's pray. Jesus, we just want to submit to your will. And your will is that we love ourselves. So God, I just submit to what you wrote in the Song of Songs. And Jesus, I submit to your words. So while we have our heads bowed, why don't you try it? Just tell Jesus in your heart, just you and him, just tell him that you love him. It's in your heart. I love you, God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Holy Spirit. Now in your heart, say those words, I love me. I love me. I love me. So God, I pray this week that you would expose briars in our life, that you would expose the thorns, and that we would welcome you into the briar patch with us. And we'd trust you. We'd relax and quit fighting. And we'd trust you, God. So, Father, I thank you for all of our friends who are watching online, our friends who are home not feeling well, on trips, wherever they are today, that, God, we just ask you to be with them. And, God, help us to love people this week the same way we love you and we love ourselves. Help us to love people and have compassion for the people that are stuck in thorns. God, use us to set captives free. We appreciate you, God. We just thank you. Amen. Thank you so much for being a part of Grace and being here today. If you would like someone to pray with you, these guys are up here. If you want to take communion, I recommend you do before you leave. There's still communion set up, and you can serve yourself. Amen. God bless you guys. Yeah.